I wanted to know, well, let me wait till a couple of people come online here, because I was very curious about. I sent that recording not last week, because we were not here last week, but I sent a recording out with the last reflection called Doctor is Priest, about the physician to the Dalai Lama. His name is
Oh,
Yeshe
yes.
Dandan. I'm just kind of curious about whether or not you listened to that, whether that moved you at all, whether that made any sense. Because I remember when I first came across that, I was just absolutely bowled over.
I have to go back.
I heard Ram Dass reading it, actually, from the book called Mortal Lessons. And to me, it was astounding, because it went, essentially what it did was it went beyond words. It was an example of a human being, Yeshe Dandan, who was the personal physician to the Dalai Lama, but showed him interacting with modern day medicine in a way that was so moving and so profound, especially to the doctor who wrote that particular story, that it went beyond words. That's what I was trying to get at, because the next couple lessons here go beyond the thinking mind. They have to. There's no other way. So we're paradoxically, we're using words to go beyond words. That's what that story meant to me. It was a way of using words to go beyond words. And there comes a point in time when, I guess, when you can't really explain that anymore, you just have to be with it. It'd be like somebody saying, I love you. And you're saying, well, define your terms. Okay. Well, it goes beyond that. It goes into a level of understanding or a level of interaction that goes far beyond what my human mind might be able to comprehend. So, with that in mind, and not ignoring the things of the world, because if you need to talk about them tonight, we'll do that. But also to realize that we're not here to explain lower consciousness. We are here to experience higher consciousness. Kind of get the difference between the two? One is I need to explain something. I need to understand it with my mind. That's not what we're here for. We're here to experience higher consciousness. Now, even in higher consciousness, I can still be aware that lower consciousness, or my limited self, is still holding on to anger, fear, resentment, incompleteness, not enoughness, whatever else you might, it's still there. But I think that most of us who are familiar with the Christian message came to understand and came to believe what Jesus was all about, was saying, I recognize all that stuff is still there, but that's not who you are. The really important stuff comes about through your viewpoint, through your openness to higher consciousness. And when we are open to higher consciousness, that begins to change everything, including how I see things. That's the whole message of Easter. I will show you how to ch I will go from a very limited perspective of dying to my physical body to coming out of the tomb in a glorified state, going far beyond what the mind can begin to comprehend. And I'm not going to deny your humanity. You're out here in a boat fishing. I'm going to cook some fish for you so you have some breakfast when you come in. So when fairly soon after Jesus, after the resurrection occurred, Peter, James, John, some of the other apostles, who were all fishermen, by the way, were out in the boat fishing. First of all, which is a great lesson. If you're scared or depressed and don't know what to do next, do something that you're familiar with. Clean a corner of your room, okay? And that's exactly what they did. They said, let's go fishing, because we know how to do that. We don't know how to deal with all this other stuff that's going on. We don't know how to deal with the death of Jesus. We don't have to, we don't know how to deal with what the women have said, that, you know, he's risen, he's not there anymore. We don't know how to deal with any of that. Let's go back and let's do something that we're all familiar with. So they went fishing. And as the story goes in the Acts of the Apostles, one of them sees this guy on the shore cooking fish and warming up some bread. And I think it was John who said, it is the Lord. And Peter, this wonderfully compulsive guy who's always screwing up one time after the other, jumps in the water and swims to shore. So sure enough, it is. But he's got to be there first. But I will not ignore your physical needs, so I will cook you breakfast, even though I don't need any. And to show you that I'm not just a ghost, because in their mythology, they thought a ghost can't eat anything. I'll show you that I'm not a ghost. I'll have a piece of fish and a piece of bread. So I'm going to begin on page 97. And if you have anything you need to add in, or if this doesn't seem to fit with what's going on with the rest of the world, say so, and we'll try and see if we can work it through. My cat's wondering where his dinner is. It's the same place it was last night. It's in her bowl.
Where's the fish? Where's the fish?
I'm on page 97. But remember, we're dealing with words to go beyond words. So get in tune with the vibration. Not the idea, the vibration. Be like watching a sunset. In the vibration of watching a sunset. In fact, when you are watching a beautiful sunset, you are detached from your physical being, even though your senses are aware of the beauty of the sunset. You're not saying, well, here I am watching a sunset. You're in it. You are enjoying, you're taking in the beauty of that sunset into your being beyond the physical. Somebody said, well, what did it look like? Well, you know, your words are totally inadequate of describing what that looked like. The great sound that we would call God in intonation is the song of the soul in complete resonance with its truth. Om. 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 That is the beginning sound and also the ending sound. I am the Alpha and the Omega, Jesus said. It's the beginning sound and the ending sound of the creation of the universe. It is the sound or the vibration that has given life to all of creation. And it is also the sound that is reflective of all creation. The Hindus knew that much way before we did. The Buddhists knew that much before we did. They knew about vibration, they knew about sound. They knew about creation. They knew the vibration and the sound from which everything flows. And it is not a sound by itself. It is an experience of that sound. And we have that vibration inside of us going on all the time. The great sound, the great amen, the great om, that we would call God in intonation, is the song of the soul in complete resonance with its truth. There's nothing getting in the way. There's no, well, but, what about this? What about that? But, there's none of that. It is completely free of that. It'd be like in either any one of us looking in a mirror and seeing totally beyond the physical reflection that is part of our five senses. Seeing the divinity, seeing, that's probably a bad word to use, but it's the only one we got. Being aware of the divinity, not just as a thought, not just as an idea, not just something I need. Well, I need to remind myself that I'm part of divine consciousness. Beyond that, the name of God without sound is who and what you are. Even the form you have taken has moved beyond language or the names of things that have been used to codify expression. In other words, language. What would it be like if we didn't have language? And we all got on Zoom on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, and we just sat here. No place to go, nothing else to do. Let the mind chatter away at whatever it needs to chatter away at, but just allowing ourselves to be fully present to one another. Fully present to one another in our pain, in our confusion, in our angst, in our joy, in our happiness, in our creativity, even in our depression. What this means is that the entirety of being, in assumption as what it has always been, is a great cry, a great silence, a beautiful song, and a heartfelt weeping, all at the same time. Oh. What this means is that the entirety of being, which you participate in assumption as what it has always been, you're not creating anything, it's always here, still here. What it has always been is a great cry, a great silence, a beautiful song, a heartfelt weeping, all at the same time. There can be no expression without what you know of as God, and therefore all expression, all great expression and small expression is God in expression as the who, as the what, as the sound of love in knowing, in being, without the name love to confuse it. I don't define myself as love, I am love. So are you. Let's drop the word. Let's try to not use the word as a way of trying to understand something. Let's be with the vibration of loving. What would it be like in this moment if each one of us were to allow ourselves to be the love that you are? Not the thought that you are, not the confusion that you are, not the past that you are, not the future that you are, but being the love that you are, beyond words. Now, what does that mean, he asks, good old Paul. What does that mean? I don't understand. I can't understand. That's right. You can't understand it with your head. You're not supposed to understand it with your head. Shut the up. Now, what does that mean, he asks? But they're very patient. Jesus was very patient with his apostles. One of my favorite stories was he's sitting with his apostles and he says, beware of the leaven, the yeast. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. In other words, be aware of their bullshit. Be aware of their wanting to define you through your behavior or through your small self. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they hear the words, and one of them says, and this cracks me up, one of them says, he's mad at us because we don't have any bread. And I can see Jesus going, what the hell's the matter with you guys? Then the man do it, bread. Beware the leaven of, oh, he's mad because we don't have any bread. God, how long have I been with you, he said. How many times do I have to teach you? Now, what does that mean, he asks. Again, to language. You have heard the idea that God is love. But even the word love is so tainted by history that its meaning is confused to you. I love my car. I love my stereo. I love that song. I love ice cream. I love my new chair. I love the springtime. I love you. God is love. Was it? I think it was Robert Johnson did this little dialogue on Eskimos. Well, we started off by saying in ancient Persian, there were 27 words for love. The Greeks had 4. The Romans had 2. We have 1. To express this thing that is so huge. He said, you know, the Eskimos have 74 different words for snow. Because they are dependent upon that in order to be able to survive. One kind of snow is going to be different from another. And unless they had that distinction, they could die someplace out in the cold. So here we are with one word to express one of the deepest concepts we will ever experience. And so we apply it to this, apply it to that. And we know it's not the same thing. But as it said, its meaning, the word love is so tainted by history that its meaning is confused to you. In love, in vibration of love, what we know of as God, with the name God attached, is an idea of a source that is a benediction, that is caring, that will do what you wish, as you wish it, if you would pray to it in a certain way. This is not God. God's not a big aspirin tablet in the sky. It's not a big Santa Claus. This is not love. All love is the expression of the source without the name love attached. No words, beyond words. If you understand that God or source, the nameless, exists beyond time, you can begin to imagine that there was a time even when the idea of love was uncreated, unthought. It's still there. It's an expression. It's always there, but it's not something we're thinking about. It's not something we would put a word on. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is love there just as much as any other time or any other place. Nothing exists without that word. Nothing exists without the presence of God, without the presence of love, even if you can't understand it. In fact, especially if you can't understand it. To move to the infinite in your potential is to actually release the codification of ideology that would now limit you. Let go of the words, let go of the concepts. And we must say that that includes your idea of what love is, because even that is now predicted by the inheritance you have claimed as a small self. If love is God and God is the nameless, then love is nameless. If love is nameless, even the idea of love is in union and without names in the manifest source that you have experienced yourself as. There was a music video. I think it was the group Foreigner who did this, but I'm not positive. There's a song called I Want to Know What Love Is. And when I first heard it, it was a really neat song. When I first heard it a couple of times, I thought it was kind of a romantic song. It was a boy-girl song. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. So typical, was a good song, powerful, liked it. Hadn't seen the video. And then one moment on MTV or some other station that I was on watching, the video came on. And here's this group singing this song, I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. And again, I had the understanding that it was probably a boy-girl song. And then what started to happen is all of these people, different races, different colors, different heights, different looking people, black, white, brown, yellow, red. All of these people started moving up on this stage where this group was saying again and again, I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. Until there was this huge spread of human beings, all different colors, shapes, and sizes, singing these words, I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. And here I am bawling my eyes out. Because what I thought was kind of a simple love song between a boy and a girl was about going far beyond what appearances could show. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. And without, beyond words. The words were important because they were kind of a springboard into the truth of what that song was all about. But what the song was all about was so far beyond words and so far beyond music, couldn't explain it. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. And so we did, showed you by coming together as this group of people who, if they met one another on the street, might have ignored one another and not paid attention or made a judgment about them.
It was Foreigner, and that was the hook.
It was. Thank you, Jim. Thank you. It was a hook, wasn't it? Do you remember? Do you remember the first moment you saw that video?
I was like you, Jerry. I was like, I'm thinking like the obvious, but then it's like, oh, I missed that completely.
Right, I did too. I, you know, again, I thought it was a nice romantic song. And then all of a sudden, it turned into something so totally different. It turned into a manifesto of love. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. Wow. Beyond words. Now, we used words as a springboard, kind of a jumping off point. The music and the words were important as a way of springboarding me into another or a different reality. My cat's knocking stuff off my desk here. He doesn't care what love is. He wants his dinner. Come on, Shadow, move. Come on. Come on. There you go. If love is nameless, even the idea of love is in union and without names in the manifest source that you experience yourself as. If you understand where we are taking you in this instruction, it's to a new idea of infinity without polarization of love and hate, light and dark, joy and sorrow, beyond any duality. Love encompasses all of that. So it's not about loving something to the and not loving something else. Love is universal. It is a universal expression of truth. No matter how it might look to you, no matter what your limited understanding might tell you. If you understand where we are taking you in this instruction, it's to a new idea of infinity without the polarization of love and hate, light and dark, joy and sorrow. These are all real things as you experience them. Don't neglect them. Don't knock them out. If you're familiar with Khalil Gibran's book, The Prophet, there are two, I mean, the whole book is beautiful, but there are two sections that always struck me as being so meaningful to me in my life about these two dualities. I think one was pleasure and pain, and the other was joy and sorrow. And if I remember, I might include those in the reflection. But it's saying, don't stay there. Again, use those understandings, because they appeal to the limited heart and they appeal to the thinking mind, but don't stay there, because the real purpose of understanding or repeating duality is to go beyond duality. We talked about this on Sunday. It was really kind of interesting because a lot of people on Sunday were talking about some of the same things we were before class tonight. And what one person was suggested was that, you know, she said she had this experience. She was watching this person on television, politician, who, and at first reaction was being angry, being annoyed, being angry, and pushing this person away, until she realized, here is a frightened little child that's all bluster and all ego and all fearfulness. And she said, at that moment, I was able to turn my feelings around into compassion. And I said, you know, that is just absolutely beautiful. However, what we are being asked to do is to even go beyond the compassion, because compassion is a little bit edgy. Compassion is fine when it goes beyond words. But most of the time is, oh, you're just a scared little child. It's really kind of close to judgment sometimes. It doesn't have to be. And I don't think it's supposed to be. A compassionate heart is a non-judgmental heart. But it's so easy to, let's say, see somebody who's hurt or in pain, to fall into that trap of judging them as being a scared little child, even though they are in a limited sense. So yes, compassion is wonderful. Getting to that point of atonement, of forgiveness, is wonderful. But don't use that as a way of separating you from the other people or making you better than them, because you're not.
Hey, Jerry, when I hear that also, I think of tolerate versus acceptance.
Yeah. What's the difference for you, Jim?
Tolerate, even the word tolerate sounds like really snarky and has kind of edge to it. Mm-hmm. It's almost like someone is saying, like, well, you have to, and I don't really want to. I'm not going to be excuse me, overtly angry at you. But acceptance is, I accept all of you.
Bless you.
Thank you. Acceptance means I accept all of you. I accept all of you for who you are, because I'm accepting myself for who I am. There's an acceptance, as opposed to just like, well, I guess I got to tolerate you. I don't really want to. So that's what it means to me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real interesting. I'm not going to read into you, but it's interesting that you got all choked up on saying tolerance.
Yeah, it's true.
Very good, Jerry.
Yes. You got me. It was just a peanut, but that's okay. I'll go with that.
Oh no, Jim.
Jerry. There are no mistakes in God's kingdom.
None.
Not at all. None.
Like a Freudian slip.
It's all got a purpose. It's all got a
meaning. That's right. Right? That's right.
Jerry.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say something about that song. I want to know what love is, and I want you to show me. When I was talking to you before the meeting, and I was telling you that I couldn't see the love in the behavior of this violence, that's what this song is telling me. I want you to show me the love. Mm-hmm. I don't need to understand the violence. I don't need to understand their anger, right, good or bad, right or wrong. I need to know, show me what love is. That was
the demonstration of that video. Okay. All of these people, almost like a magnet, okay, being drawn together in this one exclamation of loving kindness. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I liked it. That's powerful.
I'll see if I can dig that up and send it along.
Very powerful.
These are all real things as you experience them. The dualities, light, dark, joy, sorrow, love, hate. These are all real. See, we're not making them into illusions. These are all real things as you experience them. But only in that the language you use to describe them is the language you have been taught to use as descriptors. In other words, you've learned how to create this dualism. That's the way you've described things. That's the essence of how you've lived or what you've learned. You can say sorrow and call to you the experience of sorrow that you understand sorrow to be. And the word itself, the emblemization of emotion, codifies the emotion and claims it in a kind of separation from the being that you are. I feel sorrow, claim sorrow as something other. You can never be sorrow. You can never be angry. It's not a definition of who you are. You can say it, but you see how limiting that is. There can never be your that can never be your being. But you may feel sorrowful. In that way, you give identity to emotion and establish it in power, and it governs your experience. When you make it into a definition of what's going on with you, I am experiencing sorrow or sadness. I know that is not who I am. What is my experience of sorrow or sadness? What is that teaching me in this moment? What is it that I need to heal? What is it that I need to release? What is it that I need to transform? That's where my truth is. The nameless, we suggest, the divine as who and what you are, beyond codification and the idea of form, must be created with an intention to know what the divine is, without trying to define it. So it would be rather silly for me to say, okay, tell me what it's like to be in divine consciousness. You see what immediately happens? My intellect gets clicked in, say, oh, I'm gonna somehow or another need to define this experience. Whereas the knowing is, I know and you know when you are in divine consciousness. Thing about it is that when you are in divine consciousness, you're not thinking about being in divine consciousness, you just are. Now, when you pop out again and get into your intellect, get into your thinking mind, you say, oh, well, that was a great 5 minutes because I was in divine consciousness. Now I'm back in the world again. Okay. You can't say, well, I think I'll create the divine consciousness in this next moment. I can't, that's my small self trying to create a higher consciousness. But what I can say or what I can do is that I will open myself up to experience divine consciousness as it comes to me and through me, no matter how it might show up. So it might show up in a music video. It might show up in a book you pick up that you haven't looked at in years. It might be an old journal of yours. It might be a picture on your wall that reminds you of someone or something else. Might be a little flower growing in a crack in the sidewalk. Could be the memory of a child or a grandchild. Could be hundreds, thousands of different things that trigger, open ourselves up even more to the divine consciousness that you are.
Jerry,
mm-hmm.
To be in the divine conscious state is to describe always looking for love or show me love. If that's what it's like to be in that.
Being in the experience of being loved. Being in the experience of being loved. So in other words, my little self, my small self, my limited consciousness is saying, mm-hmm. I want you to show me. Okay. Mm-hmm. And usually what it thinks is, see, that's what happened with that song as well. What happened to me was, I want you to show me, and here's what it's supposed to look like. Whereas the flip side of that is, I want you to show me, and I am wide open to however that shows up. Because I could have, I could have turned that video off after the first minute and a half. I'd say, oh, that's that song by Foreigner. That's really nice. Click. I stayed with it. Not that I consciously knew this was going to open me up to divine consciousness, but it did. And you know what? That was about 40 years ago. And look, we're right here. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
That's amazing to me. It was about 40, 45 years ago, and here it is right now.
Easily 40 years ago.
Yeah. I want to know what love is. Show me. Because I am open. I am open to allowing that experience to take hold of my
being. There you go. Jerry.
Yeah.
That is so good. That is so good. It answers the question that I had before the group was when my daughter was asking me to comfort her through all of this fear of what was going on. She wanted me to give her understanding of the insanity of all of this. And I needed to tell her, don't look for the insanity, look for the love.
Because I can't explain the insanity.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Neither can I.
Look for the love.
Look, because it's there. And if you can't see it, make your prayer, Lord, that I may see. Lord, that I may see the love here, even though I can't see with my five senses. Let me know somehow or another that it exists here. I don't know what the form is going to be like. I don't know how it's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to feel. But allow me to be in that experience of love that exists, even in this, seemingly this most horrendous situation. You know, it's like that marvelous poem that was written on a concentration wall camp, right? I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. Goes beyond, you know, there's something that has went beyond the horrific circumstances of what's going on here and saw the love, knew the love, even though there was no way of explaining that. Far beyond what the mind could be able to reach. I believe in the sun, even though it's not shining. And I mean, it was a whole couple of pages of that. I'll see if I can dig that one up too. Okay. Down at the bottom of page 98. And we'll probably need to close with this to do a meditation, if I can just shut up for a minute. The nameless, we suggest, the divine is who and what you are beyond codification and the idea of form, must be created with an intention to know what the divine is. In other words, let the divine take over. Don't define what you think it's going to look like. When the divine has no name, and the qualities you would endow it with are no longer operating through language, you begin to experience infinity. No boundaries would be another way of saying that. What is infinity, Paul asks? What infinity is the experience of the absolute. Because the absolute does not exist through time. You may know it in time, but it is not through time that it is realized. You may begin to comprehend what is always. And by always, we mean what is always present, the thing that informs creation, the thing that is manifest as you. And the amazing thing that you become when you release the bondage that the small self has claimed through its agreement to separation. The amazing thing that you become, the amazing thing that you become when you release the bondage that the small self has claimed through its agreement and separation. You become the infinite. Do you lose your body? No, not necessarily. You lose your attachment to it. Not who I am. The amazing thing that you become when you release the bondage that the small self has claimed through its agreement to separation. You become who you truly are. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love. Beyond words. Let's take a few minutes. You can put your stuff down. Seems like a natural time to enter into the silence. Just wiggle around till you get even more comfortable wherever you're sitting. The words of the Christ again. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Imagine that your mind, your thinking mind, is like a blackboard or a green board. And you have this big eraser in your hand. And the eraser is called love. And you use it to wipe everything off that board. Past, future. Even your attachment to the present moment. You begin to get a sense of what it is like to be And if some other words or ideas come back on the board, that's perfectly okay. You can just know that you can let them go. They're not who you are. And allow yourself to get in tune with the rhythm of your breathing. Breathing in, breathing out. The rhythm of life. Expansion, contraction. The beating of your heart. Relaxation. Tightness. They both exist, open, close, open, tighten. And they're all part of the dance, all part of the dance. And you can make this your prayer this evening. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. And to lovingly be open to how you are shown that, how you are being shown, directed to what love truly is. And if there is someone in your life that you would like to invite into this spaciousness of loving, please do that right now. Not by force, just simply by openness. Could be somebody you know very well. Could be somebody that you just become aware of that is calling to you in this moment. Somebody who might also be saying, I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. And then become aware of the rhythm of your breathing again, the beating of your heart, this reflection of oneness with all creation. And with a sense of love and gratitude, you can stretch a bit and open your eyes when you're ready. Any closing thoughts you'd like to share before we press the red button?
I'd like to tell you.
So short.
Margo was sharing something before the meeting about being in raise your consciousness. And I just wanted to say that during this hour of our class, my consciousness has definitely been gone higher. I'm in a higher state of consciousness. And I don't know, it just feels so good. And I wanted to thank you and Margo and everybody else.
Well, that your expansion touches each one of us as well. So as you expand and grow and experience higher consciousness, so do we. So I want to thank you all for a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Yeah. And you're not going to be here Sunday? Are you going to be here Sunday?
No, we'll be here. Nelda Harris and I are going to be doing the music for the service on Sunday. So we're not going to be having class on Sunday morning. But we will be back here again on Tuesday. And we will be back here on the following Sunday. Okay?
Sounds great.
Okay.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a good week, everybody. Bye bye.
Yes. Have a good week.
Thanks for the night blessing me.
Hi, Greg. Take care.
Yeah.